I'd like now to welcome back to the Radio Cafe, Andrew Lovato. He teaches at Santa Fe Community College, and he's the author of several books, including the series of Elvis Romero children's books. And we're talking today about Elvis Romero and Fiesta de Santa Fe, featuring Zozobra's Great Escape. Welcome.
It's great to be here, Mary Charlotte.
Nice to have you back. You are always writing about Santa Fe in various different ways, and this book about Fiesta, specifically about Zozobra, it feels like it's gathered at least partly from your own memories of being a young person.
A lot. In fact, all of my Elvis books are gathered from growing up in Santa Fe. And a distinct memory I have, and I think a lot of kids here in Santa Fe have, is they're ambivalent about the burning of Zozobra. They're not so sure that it's such a great thing. And I know for myself and many of the kids I went to school with, we sided with Zozobra.
Right.
And we didn't want him to burn. So I had this idea percolating in my mind for a while about the idea of what if a couple of kids decided they were going to take action and they're going to rescue Zozobra.
And which is what little Elvis and his friend Peppa do.
Yeah, Elvis and Peppa decide we can't allow this to happen. And so in a nutshell, what they do is they borrow their uncle's tractor. This is in the 1960s, and they string Zozobra up, tie him up with some ropes, and they drag him up to up Hyde Park Road and hide him behind some trees.
Right. And amazingly, nobody's on the road and nobody sees them.
It's the middle of the night.
Yep.
It's this...
back in the day.
Yeah, exactly. Clandestine, you know, little event that happens, and a few dogs bark, but nobody catches them, and they actually get away with this caper. So,
and el borracho.
That's true. Oh, yes, I'm glad you brought that up. But how it turns out is interesting. You know,
Do you want to? You don't want to tell?
No, I don't want to tell that. But it's. I'll wait for people to see what they think about the ending. But it goes through a lot of stages and. You know, I've just heard so many people here in Santa Fe talk about feeling sorry for Zozobra. It's not Zozobra's fault.
Right.
Like Elvis says that his uncle's car broke down. You know, all these things can't be blamed on Zozobra.
So it's kind of a beautiful story because we all, especially as kids, project life and personality onto inanimate creatures. I suppose we do that as adults, too.
Mm-hmm. And they really do. Elvis and Peppa see Zozobra as a real living creature, and they feel compassion. They feel sorry for Zozobra, and they need to take action. It's not that there's any choice in the matter. It's something that they feel compelled to do.
It's also a portrait of Santa Fe, what, sort of 40-plus years ago.
Yeah, it's a portrait of Santa Fe in the 1960s, late 1960s, and I think it sort of gives a snapshot of what was Santa Fe like back then as opposed to what it is now. A lot of people who grew up in Santa Fe remember Santa Fe during that time and how it was a much slower pace, and it was a more innocent time, I think, not just Santa Fe, but everywhere. And it's just a way of recapturing that.
Now, may we ask if Elvis Romero is Andrew Lovato, kind of?
Kind of, yeah. I actually never did attempt to rescue Zozobra.
Right.
But a lot of the way Elvis thinks, and especially in my other books, Elvis Romero and the Cosmic White Corvette, it's taken from some of my experiences and experiences of people that I grew up with. He's a combination of different Santa Fe characters that I knew and that I recall and thoughts that I had. So, yeah, I think that's fair.
So the book contains a lot of, not only the story, but a lot of great vintage photographs of Fiesta. Where did you find them?
Oh, this was so much fun. This book was published by the Museum of New Mexico Press, and I had the opportunity to work with Anna Gallegos and Mary Watts, and we went through the old photographs at the archives through the museum, through the New Mexico Historical Museum, and we looked at the old archives and the old photos of Fiesta's past, and it was so much fun just running through all of those old photographs. And we just pulled out the ones we thought were really outstanding and came up with a photographic collage to supplement the book. And it's just so much fun if you get a chance, you know, and people can go into the museum and do that. Just to look through old photographs of Santa Fe, and just it captures this amazing history of Santa Fe.
Yeah, I mean, the visuals of what it was like in that time. There are certain pictures where you think the picture could have been taken last week, and other ones that seem so old-fashioned.
Yeah, it's really great. I love the cover of the book because it has this background of fiestas gone by, and we have photos of a zozobra from the past, a little boy with his dog, a parade going by the front portals of the Palace of the Governors. And it's really so neat to go back in time with these photographs.
There's also a little history of Fiesta in the back of the book. When was the first Fiesta?
Well, the first Fiesta officially was in 1712. And this fiesta was a commemoration of the memory of Don Diego de Vargas. And this was put together by some of his associates in order to just be a memorial for him. And it was religious in nature. The first fiestas, in fact, all for the first couple of hundred years, were a religious ceremony celebrating Don Diego de Vargas and his connection with La Conquistadora. And so the real basis of Fiesta is religious in nature, but it's gone through so many fascinating ramifications in which zozobra plays a part in. In the early 1900s, when New Mexico became a state, 1912, the year after that, the Fiesta as a civic celebration ceased to be. It was still practiced religiously, but New Mexico was a new state. Then World War I came in, and as a new state, we were really involved in this war. And so Fiesta took a back seat, and it wasn't restarted until 1919, when the School of American Research and the Museum of New Mexico got together and wanted to revitalize this. But it was put together mostly by people who were non-local, Eastern-educated academics, and the local people didn't really take to it.
Right.
And so the way this revitalized was this fascinating symbiosis between the local people and artists from the East, writers, photographers, artists, who got together and decided, we want to take back the Fiesta. And so this group actually put together an alternate fiesta they called El Pasatiempo. And part of this were things like zozobra, the pet parade, the historical parade. I think it goes the other way around, historical, hysterical. But at any rate, they put all these things together and made an alternate fiesta, and eventually those two merged and became the fiesta we know today, and zozobra was a big part of that.
It's so interesting when you've got, I'm sure, well-meaning people from these institutions whose actions basically result in saying, hey, you guys are living anthropology, archaeology. You know, people are like, yeah, right.
Yeah, and one of the things that really angered people about these early fiestas that were put together is they were charging admission for people to go into fiesta events, and people thought, what? We're paying for our own cultural event?
Right.
This was outrageous. And so, you know, that sort of spurred the move to let's just make our own fiesta.
And now it's all one fiesta.
Now it's all one big happy fiesta with all the different elements mixed together, the religious aspects and the fun aspects and the color. And it's all cultures. All of the cultures of Santa Fe have combined to make the fiesta we know today, which I think is wonderful, you know.
And I have to say, if you live here and you ever want to feel like there's a night where this is not a tourist town, you go out to the plaza on Saturday night during Fiesta.
Yeah, it's tremendous. Fiesta, I really want to reiterate, is a multicultural event. It's for everybody in Santa Fe. People shouldn't feel that this it belongs to one culture or another. It belongs to Santa Feans, absolutely.
So do you have more Elvis Romero books in the works?
You know, I'm not so sure. I have on my SantaFe.com, if anyone would like to go on there, I have a serialized blog of an Elvis Romero book called Elvis Romero and the Cosmic White Corvette.
Right.
And it captures Elvis growing up in Santa Fe. And we wanted to do something like was done back in the late 1800s, where rather than publishing books, you serialize books. But updating it rather than being in a newspaper, we're doing it online. And so it's serialized on there for anybody to check out. And
kind of like the old days.
Yeah.
Serializing stories day after day. Well, now they're there for anybody to read, but right. They did come out actually in the paper.
And I actually did a serialized version of another Elvis story, not last Christmas, but the Christmas before, called A Christmas Gift for La Conquistadora, with Elvis and Peppa, the same characters, involved in another crazy adventure, rescuing La Conquistadora rather than Zozobra.
Right.
And, I think at this point, at least for the immediate future, I'm going to let Elvis and Peppa rest for a while.
Well, the semester is about to start. You teach at Santa Fe Community College. Andrew Lovato, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe, and we look forward to having you back in the future.
It's always great to be here.
And by the way, Zozobra's Great Escape is available at any local bookstore here in Santa Fe and the local museums as well.